You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Kristen Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you are listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to All Action Sports Radio. We have another great show this week. I'm Wes, I'm your host, and we have another jam-packed show today, and I can't wait to get started. I'm going to jump right into this ending of the Olympics. It was a great run for everybody, and now they run out and they do their little, not little, this is the time where they go to talk shows, late-night shows, local news, try out the Olympic athletes, they get honored by the media, and this past week, Jamie Anderson was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, brand new week, and so she was brought out, and Jamie won a gold medal in snowboard slopestyle at the Olympics, and so this was her moment. And let's listen to how Jimmy Fallon showcased an Olympic star, a gold medalist. Guys.
Because you keep calling her your good friend, Olympic gold medal snowboarder Jamie Anderson.
Really? Well then, let me introduce to you my friend, Olympic gold medal snowboarder Jamie Anderson.
Host of The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon?
I'm sorry, Jimmy, but I can't play for someone so untrusting. And neither can the rest of the Roots. Come on, guys. Come on, Jamie. We're out of here.
You're not going to go with him?
I'd rather stay and watch the rest of the monologue.
Perfect. Go have a seat over there. He'll come back.
Don't worry about it.
All right, go have a seat over there. He sat her with the band. She did this little wave, and she got tossed aside while he brought out Jerry Seinfeld and what I guess they thought were bigger stars. Now, listen how David Letterman treated an Olympic star, somebody who worked their entire life for this gold moment, David Letterman.
And the event, we heard earlier reports, Shaun White, who was going to compete in this event, injured his wrist, dropped out. And then we heard that the course itself was perilous. Too high, too far, too fast. How did you find the course?
Yeah, it's definitely a big boy course. You know, definitely separated the men from the boys. But we showed up. It was big, but I think it was a good course. And there was a few like minor things that needed to be changed.
What kind of stuff is minor to you in this event?
It's just they moved the knuckles up a little bit.
Oh, I hate that, don't you?
I know.
Okay, do you get it? That's Sage Katzenberg. Okay, he's sitting next to David Letterman. They're having a conversation. He gets a nice dig in at Shaun White. He's there for the world, showcasing the moment. That's how you treat an Olympic star, Jimmy Fallon. You people over there at The Tonight Show, you got to get it right. She worked her tail off her entire life for that moment. Jamie Anderson is an American hero, and you don't relegate her to band status. All right? That's just my take on the whole thing. She deserved better. All right, you can email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. You can Twitter. I know this will get a lot of Twitters on it. And you can also Instagram, All Action Sports Radio. We have a great show. Like I said, Jason Weingart from RacerX Online. We're headed to the East Coast. We got deep, deep insight from RacerX Online editor Jason Weingart. Olympic snowboarder and bronze medal winner on the half pipe, Kelly Clark. And you will be rest assured, we here at All Action Sports Radio will not relegate her to band status. She is a star here. She's in our True Spin segment, and we cannot wait to talk to you, Kelly Clark, on her way home from Sochi. And we'll be talking to the Association of Surfing Professionals. The Tour 2014 is just around the corner, and VP of Communications for the ASP Tour, Dave Prodan, is stopping by All Action Sports Radio to help kick off the tour in Australia. And we have SBC Magazine editor Jeff Schmuck breaking down the Sochi free skiers, giving it up for the big man, David Wise, rocking out the Olympics. I can't wait to talk to you, Jeff Schmuck, on that. And then, of course, our song of the week here at All Action Sports Radio. Man, we get a lot of Twitters and emails about our songs of the weeks. This one will be just as good. Life Leon, Graceland to L.A. and the School Bus here on All Action Sports Radio. And now we're on the line with Jason Weingart. He's a RacerX Online editor. He also hosts a TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC Series. And he is with us now on All Action Sports Radio. Welcome, Jason.
Good to be here, as always.
As always. Hey, let's talk Chad Reed first. He put in a valiant effort in Arlington, but couldn't give it his all. Is he going to make it on the East Coast?
I don't think you'll see him for a while now, and it's not just because of the extent of the injury. It's all based on risk and reward. Chad told me Saturday morning that, you know, he knew there was a pretty good chance that he was so beat up. I mean, he had four broken bones. He knew it was pretty slim, the chances he was going to be able to race. But he figured if he skipped the race, didn't even show up, the title was definitely gone. So why not show up on the 1% chance you can make it work? But he knew that if he couldn't make it work in Dallas, he'd be so many points behind that it was no longer worth trying again. So I think because of that, now he's going to take all the time off he needs. There's no reason to rush it because the title's out of reach anyway.
Wow. How gutsy was that? I mean, how gutsy is that to go out there with those kind of broken bones and just push yourself, you know, past the point of endurance?
Yeah, well, the bones, the only reason he even had a shot at it was because all four fractures weren't, you know, displaced, like the bones were still touching.
Mm-hmm.
But he told me he hadn't done a single exercise. You know, he didn't try push-ups, jumping jacks, or riding or anything. So as soon as he had to start, you know, flexing some muscles, those things could pull right apart, and it just wasn't going to work. I mean, awesome effort, but unfortunately, it just goes down as a lost season, and it's a heartbreaker because that was probably the best story of the year.
Yeah, great, great, great story, and just a shame for Chad. Let's talk a little bit more about Arlington before we get to the East Coast. We had a Barsha signing. Can you explain that sudden emergence of Justin Barsha last week? Was it mental? Was it the bike? What turned Justin Barsha around and got him in on the podium?
Barsha's in a tough spot because he is a free agent, like a lot of riders are, looking for a deal next year. And I think he's always been one of the best starters that there is, and his starts have been terrible this year. And, you know, he doesn't want to badmouth the company he's riding for, but at the same time, he's got to put it out there that he's still capable. So he's kind of put it out there as subtly as he can that they're having a problem getting good starts on that bike. He needed a good start. He finally got a decent one, not a great one, but at least it was good enough to be up there. And he got third. So this could be a turnaround. But he's just in a tough spot because he wants to prove to everyone that, you know, I can win on anything. You know, I want people to negotiate with me. But at the same time, you don't want to slam the company you're riding for now, right? So
exactly.
I think it's more of the bike than he's letting on.
All right. All right. Here we are. Georgia Dome, Atlanta. The guys have been waiting for the East Coast swing. Who does it favor the most?
I think Filippotto. Now, every one of these guys prefers the East dirt. They like the layouts. And when we go east, we race in football stadiums, which are rectangles instead of the big baseball diamonds. And most of them like the rectangle-shaped tracks better. So everyone likes it more. But I think the rider that benefits the most from it, usually, that goes to a higher level, is Villopoto. His riding style, I think, plays off of having traction more so. I mean, Stewart's going to be better also, but I think Villopoto will get more better than everyone else will get more better. Does that term make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, James Stewart can tie Ricky Carmichael on the all-time 450 class win list for second place with 48 wins this weekend. How much motivation does that give James Stewart? Does that put him like in the forefront over everybody else because he has this huge prize in addition to winning?
It is huge. It is massive. But I think what the lesson Stewart has learned is to not use things like that as motivation. He said very tellingly 2 weeks ago, he said for years he had been advertising that he wanted to get to number one on that list,
mm-hmm.
which is Jeremy McGrath, which is pretty much out of reach. It's 72. But he said, you know, I probably shouldn't have started talking about being number one until I even got to second. I think he knows now, enjoy life, do the best you can, you know, each lap, and wherever you end up is where you end up. If you set your goals 3 years down the line, you mess up in the middle. So I think he's just taking it race by race now, and wherever he ends up is where he ends up.
Great insight, Jason. Really good. You know, we talked about this over several different shows about Ryan Dungey loving Atlanta and how he benefited from it. He won for the first time with KTM there. And could this be a turning point for him this weekend, for Ryan Dungey?
I think it's kind of like the Barsha thing. These guys are all pretty close, and the start makes a big difference. If Dungey starts sixth, it's going to be hard to win. If he starts first or second, he could do it. But I don't think that any particular track or anything like that's going to change it for most of the guys. The other problem with Atlanta, it used to be one of the most soft, unique, rutted tracks ever. They've cured that. They've mixed stuff up to dry the dirt out. It's not as different from the other rounds as it used to be. So it doesn't usually change things up like maybe it did 5 or 10 years ago. It could be similar to Dallas in the end.
All right, Jason, I got 20 seconds. You've been on a roll. Who do you got coming in? First, second, third, Atlanta.
I'm just going to keep riding this Stewart train, man. I mean, we haven't seen it in a long time from him, you know, a huge win streak. But we're seeing him ride like he used to. And when he used to ride like that, he used to win a lot. So let's just keep it on going and tighten this thing up a little bit more and make it even more exciting.
All right. Roczen came in six last week for me. I'm going to stick with Roczen and say he's going to have a banner weekend.
I like it.
All right. I'll see you on Twitter. Thanks a lot. Jason Wang, RacerX online editor here on All Action Sports Radio. We'll see you next week. Back here at All Action Sports Radio. Don't forget, you can call in at 855-892-9606. And you can also email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. And you can Twitter at All Action Sport here at All Action Sports Radio. All right, she has added to her stellar resume by winning bronze at the Sochi Olympics in the snowboard halfpipe finals. Add to that, she's the first ever American Olympic gold medalist in the halfpipe at the tender age of 18 at the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympics. She placed fourth in the 2006 Turin Olympics, then won a bronze medal 4 years ago in Vancouver. She has now competed in four Winter Olympics. Four, people, count them. Four. She is now the only Olympic snowboarder to have won three medals in the Olympics. And I just recently read where she's probably the most decorated male or female athlete in the sport of snowboarding. Let's give a nice big welcome home to Kelly Clark. Kelly, welcome back home and welcome to All Action Sports Radio yet again.
Thank you so much for the nice welcome and for having me on the show today.
Absolutely, Kelly. I know you just got back recently. You're fighting a little bit of jet lag. But just how good did it feel to touch American soil?
It's so nice anytime you come home, I think, especially after being away for about 3 weeks in Germany and Russia. It's awesome to be home, and I think you get so kind of isolated doing your sport and you're having your event. So when you come home, you realize what a big stage the Olympics is, you know, very warm welcome here in New York City.
Gigantic, I would imagine. I think there's one question that's been on everybody's mind, and now that we have somebody who was actually there and was a part of the whole thing, you can help answer this and give us a better understanding. Just how bad was the conditions, the half pipe?
The conditions were challenging, for sure. It was a very mild climate, really warm temps, and for anybody who knows anything about snowboarding, basically warm temps can make it inconsistent. So there was a lot of ruts, there was a lot of bumps. The event organizers did their best job to keep it under control, but you know, to be honest, the format made it really difficult. We were riding the pipe for 10 hours that day, so it's getting warm, it's getting rutted, it's freezing at night. It was one of the most challenging half pipes I've ever ridden. So, but, you know, I think at the end of the day, it is an outdoor winter sport, and that is something as athletes that we have to deal with.
All right. You know, because we kept getting reports back here in the U.S. and people complaining. And, you know, kind of take us back during that whole Shaun White drama of dropping out. Did that play in the psyche of your mind or another rider's about participating in the Olympics over there?
No, not at all. I think everybody's pretty confident in their own kind of direction and ability. We usually stay pretty focused on what we're doing, regardless of what other people are up to.
All right, you're listening to All Action Sports Radio, and we're back with Kelly Clark, Olympic bronze medalist at the Sochi Olympics in the halfpipe. Kelly, you've been to four Olympics. That's amazing within itself. Can you kind of share that moment of the opening ceremony and what that was like for you?
You know, snowboarding is an individual sport, so we don't always have the opportunity to be part of something bigger, to represent a team, much less represent a country. I find that, you know, through my Olympic experiences, I'm more patriotic than I've ever been before, and it's always one of the great privileges to walk out and represent your country and to the world. You know, I always like that word, represent, because it really means to represent something, and that's our sport and our country, so it's a privilege.
Well, you know, I was watching as millions of other people around the world watching you guys come out and wave to the world. And I remember talking to another Olympian, and they told me the feeling of being amongst other people who have gone through what you've gone through and the challenges that you face and finally get to that moment, it was absolutely surreal for them. Was it like that for you in that moment walking?
Yes. I mean, you can't help but look around and be inspired by everyone, by the people you've seen. You know, some of the athletes I've seen year after year at the last four Olympic Games, and to be able to show up 4 years later and say, wow, we did it again. Wow, we're back again. It's an incredible opportunity that a very small percentage of the population gets to do and experience.
Weren't you, didn't I read somewhere where you were inspired by the Nagano Olympics?
Yes, you know, I started snowboarding when I was seven, and I fell in love with the sport. I never really had aspirations to do it competitively, and I watched the Nagano Olympics. I taped them on a VHS tape, and I watched them after school one day. And I had one of those moments, you know, as a 14-year-old, you don't think you make life decisions, but I had one of those moments where I said, this is what I want to do with my life. And 4 years later, I was standing on top of the Olympic podium in Salt Lake City, and I've honestly been living that dream and chasing that dream down ever since. I never thought I would have the opportunity to go to four Olympic Games. I never thought that I'd be in the height of my snowboard career as a 30-year-old.
Dude, that is amazing. Dare we say five?
I mean, they said this was impossible, right? You know, you'd have to be too old, and you know, no one's ever competed in four Olympic Games for snowboarding from the States. And I don't see what would be so difficult about chasing the same dream down again. I love it more than I ever have. And as long as I have that in the mix, you know, until I find something more worthy of my investment, I'll continue to pour my life into this sport.
All right. Kelly, you sound fantastic. You sound even more inspired since we talked to you last. All right, from time to time, we put it out there for our listeners to email questions or post questions for our guests. And we have one from Robin by way of station KPSI 920 AM out of Palm Springs, California. And if we make Kelly, she has a question for you.
Sure.
My little sister is 12 and loves to snowboard. She always hangs out in the snow park. For a birthday present, we would like to send her to an awesome snowboard camp, if possible, one for girls. Can you tell me the best one for her?
If you want to go in the summertime, Mount Hood is kind of the hub of snowboard camps, if you want that summertime camp experience. I know I'm going to be up, I believe it's session two at High Cascade this summer. I'm going to be a guest coach up there.
Oh, great.
So that's always a good one to go to. And then, you know, there's any number of other opportunities. You know, I think Burton does some kind of Burton Girls events. You can look up through burtongirls.com and see some kind of collaborations, because, you know, ultimately you want to get your kid around people that are going to be inspired and give them the equipping to pursue that dream. And I know Burton's a good resource for that.
All right, great. When do you take a break? Are you going to take a break now, or are you getting ready for the U.S. Open?
A break. What's that? yeah, I'm going to go straight into the U.S. Open next week. I'm kind of rounding out my media tour here the next week or so. Hopefully get a few days home in Mammoth and then head out to Vail for the Burton U.S. Open. And after that, I'll head to a photo shoot, and then I'm actually heading up to Bald Face as well to get in some powder riding. So I'm not going to be slowing down anytime soon, but when I do, I think it'll have a surf trip in the mix. That'll be my next break.
All right, nice. Hey, that picture of you with Caitlin Farrington and Tora Bright together on the podium was an amazing moment. I mean, we put it up and got a lot of reaction to it. What were your feelings like at that time? I mean, it just seemed like such a great moment for all three of you.
Snowboarding is such an amazing sport because there is that camaraderie, that there is that genuineness. And I think that night showcased that more than anything that I've personally experienced. I was so impressed by those girls up there. I think it's unique when you get somewhere and everybody competing wants to see someone's best. And that was a good representation of that, because, you know, not only did the girls want to do well, but they wanted to do well when everyone else was doing well. That's what a true champion, that's what true success looks like. It's, you know, when everybody brings their A game, you're standing up there. And I think that's what we all did that night. And, I think I would never want to see snowboarding lose that, because I think it, based off my own personal life journey, you know, the medals, they come and go. They all represent something different to the people who call them their own, but it's the friendships and the community that last. And I think snowboarding as a sport has so much more to it than just the Olympics. And that was showcased that evening.
And, you know, it showed. Kelly, from all of us here at All Action Sports Radio, congratulations once again. Good luck on your media tour. Good luck at the U.S. Open. And, again, congratulations on your bronze medal at the Olympics. And we look forward to seeing you at the next one in Seoul, Korea. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's Pyeongchang, I believe, of Korea. So.
All right. Good luck, Kelly. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio.
And the mountains crumble to the sea. I won't cry, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long.
And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. I want to thank WQRT 1160 AM out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Thank you for being a part of our show. And Anastasia Ashley, pro surfer. And she is now a part of 2014 Sports Illustrated. And she looks amazing. And if you want to check that out, you can go to our Facebook page at All Action Sports Radio. She joins the likes of Stephanie Gilmore and Maya Gabera, two other pro female surfers who have graced the insides of Sports Illustrated. I mean, she looks amazing. Don't take my word for it. Just go check it out on our Facebook page. All right, this is one of my favorite segments of the show. Talking with SBC Skier Magazine editor Jeff Schmuck. Jeff, how you doing, my man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I am good, man. I'm just full of Olympic glory. We had Kelly Clark on a little bit earlier in our show, and now we're cruising right into free skiing and talking about slopestyle, halfpipe, and, you know, the, David Wise doing it and doing it and doing it again. You called it.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely the one to beat in halfpipe going into that event. It was you know, a bit of a disappointing event in some respects because of the weather. Obviously, it was raining during the day and then hail and then snowing. And disappointing in the sense that we didn't really get to see any of those guys bring their A-plus game. But, you know, they definitely braved and battled through the elements and still put on a fantastic show for the whole world to see. And, you know, Dave shows consistency counts in picking up the gold medal. My boy Mike Riddle bringing home the silver medal to Canada here. And then Kevin Roland picking up the bronze for France. So it was cool to see an international field stand on the podium.
And you know what? David Wise did say that he had a couple of tricks that he wanted to pull, but the conditions, you know, didn't warrant it. So I guess everybody played it safe and did the run that they thought they can stick the most. And even then, you know, David Wise was hanging on one run to get the gold.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that that was kind of his B-level run. We didn't see the switch double like we saw at X Games, and I know he's got a couple other things up his sleeve that he was hoping to unveil at the Olympic Games, but Mike Riddle really putting it down with the left and right side double cork 12s, but also not doing his switch double at the bottom. So, you know, it was just kind of with the elements, all the snow, the pipe being a bit lackluster compared to the one we saw at X Games, it was, you know, everybody's kind of just took her down a notch, but still made it count.
And how surprised were you that Mike Riddle took second?
Not really. I mean, I think it's Mike's been due for it for a bit, and you know, he was super, super close to the podium there at X Games in fourth. So, you know, to see him come out and grab that silver medal wasn't too much of a surprise. Once finals had started, I think, you know, Tornier or Wallace, unfortunately not making finals, played a big part in that. Lyman Currier, unfortunately, going down with a knee injury as well. So we didn't see as many of the heavy hitters in finals in years past, but couldn't happen to a nicer guy with Mike. And, you know, he's had a long and storied career, and this is a great way to cap off his winter.
And couldn't happen to a nicer guy, huh, David?
David and Mike, they're both exceptionally nice guys.
And the thing about David, you know, he had his daughter's the picture of his daughter was on the placards, and they were waving him around. And it had to be such a wonderful moment for him, you know, to be up there to finally accomplish the first person in history to score gold in the half pipe.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's well-deserved. You know, he's done a lot for the sport of half-pipe skiing over the past couple of years, so to see him walk away with the gold was it was a treat to watch.
And, you know, he said something, I read a quote, and I'll read it for our listeners. He said, you represent everyone who believed in you along the way, teachers, trainers, coaches, sponsors. Everyone who thought you had a chance of being great at something is in that half-pipe with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the Olympics are the pinnacle of athletic achievement, but in many ways it's not an individualistic sport. There's so many people that come together to help these athletes, you know, get to that level, get to that point, get to that event, and then ultimately win. So, you know, very nice to hear Dave say that, because I think he hit the nail on the head there.
Absolutely. And, you know, and when I read it, I it just made me, because he's been on our show a couple of times, it just really solidified, you know, who he is in the world of half-pipe skiing and what kind of person he really is. Hang around, Jeff. We are going to come back after this break. We want to talk to you more about Sochi X Games and going forward with free skiing. And you're listening to All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. I'm Wes. I'm your host here at the wonderful All Action Sports Radio. And we're in our skiing segment with SBC Skier Magazine editor Jeff Schmuck. Jeff, with the Olympics and kind of like the inauguration of free skiing making its moment, which, by the way, was even more dramatic than snowboarding, I thought, competition-wise. How does this change the landscape going forward with these athletes? I mean, we saw the whole thing with Shaun White passing on the X Games, different events, and even passing on an event during the Olympics. What's this going to do to athletes going forward in preparation for the Olympics for Seoul?
I don't think it's going to change a lot of their mindsets too much, to be honest, because I think everybody's looking at it as, you know, an event that takes place every 4 years, albeit a very big event, and you know exposure wise and pressure wise and notoriety wise and all that. But you know, I think you're going to see these guys get back to business as usual. You know, like we talked about during X Games, none of these guys grew up really necessarily dreaming of going to the Olympics. They grew up dreaming of winning X Games, so I think they're going to go back into the motions, do X Games, do tour and just keep on keeping on. And when South Korea rolls around in a couple of years, then we'll see more of the same of what we saw this year. People doing Grand Prix, really focusing their efforts for a chance to get on the team.
But it seemed to me that the athletes felt, a little bit pushed, a little bit like things weren't done the way they were accustomed to. Maybe it was Vice, maybe it was the Olympic people putting it together. It just didn't seem to have the same class and touch as the X Games, you know, as the U.S. Open, as these other events. And I think for these riders, maybe either they're going to put their foot down or they're going to be like, hey, I want to be in a better place where I can be successful.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple factors that went into that. There was a lot of unknowns going into the Olympics because this is the first time free skiing's been involved. So a lot of what ifs, you know, not really sure how it was going to all play out. You know, a second factor is that at the end of the day, with all due respect to the Olympic Games, it's not, and what we've seen over the course of halfpipe and slopestyle is not the most accurate representation of the highest level of our sport, because we have competitors like Tom Walsh, McCrae Williams, Simon Dumont, who aren't there. So we don't have every single one of those guys who's the best due to the quota spots with, you know, four per gender, per discipline, per country. So I think that took away from it a little bit. And then also, you know, free skiing is just a small part of the beast that is the Olympic Games, where X Games, it's kind of, it's skiing, snowboarding, and snowmobiling, and there's a lot more spotlight, you know, shining down upon them. So to have it be a smaller piece of the puzzle in the grand overall scheme of things, I think just, you know, going back to what I said earlier, I think it's another event, albeit a very big one, and very important for these athletes to, I'd say more so than anything, represent their sport and their nations.
You know, now that these guys are now a part of an Olympic event going forward, I guess you're going to have bigger sponsors, you know, and bigger names on their skis, on their chest.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And whatnot, looking at that payout. I mean, some people thought Shaun White was, like, protecting his brand by not participating. Do you see David Weiss going in that direction?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's already sponsored by Visa and, as of a couple of days ago, McDonald's.
Woo!
And then Torin is sponsored by Visa, Kellogg's. Ross Groenewald is up here in Canada, is sponsored by Target, who's been a part of the sport for a long time now.
Yeah.
Visa, BMW. So we're going to see these corporate entities leak into the sport, pump more money into it, which, you know, on the competitive side of things, I think is good. These guys can't ski forever, you know, and if they can make a comfortable living for as many years as possible off of skiing and before the time comes for them to hang it up, then that's great. And if they want to pour money into events as well, that's cool too.
That's hot. Hey, good news. Hey, good tip on that McDonald's, Jeff Schmuck. Hey, man, I'll check you out on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right, we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good.
All right, you're listening to All Action Sports Radio, and we have more, more, more. Welcome back to All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. That song, that was I Hate Surfing in HB, right? Don't tell me we did that for Dave Prodan, did we? Dave? All right. We have Dave Prodan, the Vice President of Communications for the ASP, the Association of Surfing Professionals, on All Action Sports Radio. They have their tour 2014, which is kicking off. It's right around the corner, and Dave has honored us with his presence on All Action Sports Radio. Dave, welcome.
Thanks very much, guys, and I don't take offense to the I Hate Surfing in HB. I don't live there, so no problem.
No, I think those guys were trying to get a surf song in there, and they pulled that one out. You know that song really well, don't you?
I do. I know it. I know it intimately.
Okay. All right, let's kick off the tour. So, Australia, when are you leaving?
I am leaving on Saturday. We have the World Surfing Awards, which is officially crowned the 2013 World Champs, on next Wednesday. And we kick off the start of the 2014 season on Saturday the 1st with the Quiksilver Roxy Pro Gold Coast.
And the Roxy Pro Gold Coast for women.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have a huge schedule for the girls this year. A lot of new events. They're going to Fiji. They're going to Trestles. They're returning to Maui. We've moved them from Biarritz to Hossiger, so it's a huge commitment to quality venues on their platform.
Now, Dave, let's get into this real quick. You know, last year, Zosi Media, a group led by Kelly Slater's manager, Terry Hardy, they kind of joined forces with the ASP to redefine and to make it bigger, better, and stronger, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, I've been with the ASP for 8 years, and this is easily the most exciting time, I think, for fans and athletes. Even as recent as last year, we had 10 events on the men's tour. It was 10 different websites. There's 10 different commentary production teams. It was really inhibitive for a fan that wanted to follow the sport. Right now, we've got singular platforms, one consistent team, the ability to tell stories throughout the whole year, and really contextualize the athletes in a way that's befitting of their talents. So Well, a huge thing for the fans.
What Zosi said in a new statement was says they were going to model the ASP after leading sports organizations such as the NFL and the NBA. And to that vein, you guys announced your new commentary for the webcast, and you kind of streamlined it, and you have a list of who's who of people in the surf community to give a more consistent voice on all these different stops, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think for the first time, the sport's going to have a commentary team for the sport. They won't be specific to independent events, which, you know, to their credit, they've all done an excellent job. But, again, they're going to be given the best resources to tell stories. They're going to have the best tools and statistics, replays, and one team throughout the year will really provide that consistent voice throughout the year.
I mean, you have Joel Turpo, Peter Mel. I mean, these are, you know, household names in the world of surf. What is the primary objective? You know, is it bringing surf into the mainstream consciousness or tell better stories to get people to like the athletes, to be invested in athletes, to follow the tour?
I think it's both. I think we approach it where we're looking at both an endemic audience and non-endemic audience, and we're looking at content that engages, educates, and entertains. And I don't think that's exclusive to one group or the other. I think the commentary team we have are very experienced, very professional. They've gone through extensive training pre-March 1st. So you'll see a new Joe Turpel, a new Pat Parnell, a new Peter Mel, and their support teams. And they have great credibility. You know, we've got Martin Potter on the team, Peter Mel, Strider Wasilewski. It's a great team, and they're going to have all the tools they need.
You know, and some and in this, I guess, growth, you lost some names that were, you know, consistent with the tour in the past. David Wasso, Sal Masekela. Are those guys somewhere in the future, or have you guys reached a plane where this is the group going forward for this year?
It is the core group going forward this year. We're going to be leveraging regional analysts and experts like we are with Ronnie Blakey in Australia. We'll have regional analysts and experts at every stop on tour. We certainly have a pool of a lot of interested parties for the commentary gig. You know, the requisite for us was not only being a quality commentator, but also being able to commit to the whole year, which maybe there were some individuals that didn't have that ability to do so. But, you know, our commitment's to the fans first and foremost, and to do that, we wanted one team for the whole year.
And I think that makes perfect sense. Dave, for all our listeners out there, 1.1 million of them, if they want to know more about the ASP Tour, where can they go?
ASPWorldTour.com. We've launched a new website as of last week, and you will see all the live action from the world's best surfers starting on March 1st.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dave, for being a part of our show this week. And good luck and have safe travels to Australia.
100%, guys. Maybe I'll catch up with you from across the pond.
Yes, you will. All right, thank you. All right, coming up, we have our Song of the Week here at All Action Sports Radio. And this is our Song of the Week here at All Action Sports Radio, Life Leon. And that was Life Leon. Man, I really like that song. That's a really killer song. Graceland to L.A. in the school bus. Life Leon, our Song of the Week here at All Action Sports Radio. I want to thank our guest, SB Skier Magazine's Jeff Schmuck, giving us a lowdown on Sochi and beyond. I want to give a big shout-out to RacerX Online Editor, Jason Wyant. Thank you for being a part of our show. And I want to thank Dave Prodan, the VP of Communication for ASP, the Association of Surfing Professionals. I want to thank him for being a part of our show. And, of course, Kelly Clark, Olympic bronze medalist in the snowboard halfpipe. Thank you for being a part of our show this week. And I want to thank you, our listeners. Thank you for being a fan of All Action Sports Radio. Your emails, your letters, everything. Keep it going, man. We really appreciate it. Our crew, Soy Sauce Media, Jay, rocking the music. Gotta love it. And, of course, the inspiration. We'll see you at the Gold Coast ASP Tour 2014. We're out. Go have a killer week now. Hard to find. I find my big booty woman, gonna do my duty on that.